everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, Pat Chat Edition. I'm Violet.
And I'm Pat.
We make these videos because Patrick finds lots of interesting things online, whether they be articles or podcasts or silly ideas. And we like to sit and talk about how these keto ideas might discourage people from trying keto. And we like to kind of, well, encourage people to do keto.
So this week actually is a little surprise for Violet because she has no idea what we're going to talk about. And I did find an article. Yeah, you shouldn't be. So I did find this interesting article on, I think, a website called Gear Patrol. That's basically your essential kit to go keto. So there's a bunch of, some are food, some are not. I thought it could be a good idea to discuss them.
This is a fast video because I can already say nothing. We need to buy nothing besides groceries.
It's true.
So like I feel like this is gonna be a really fast video.
Yeah.
What am I just supposed to say? Nope, don't buy that.
No. Okay. No, because like there's a few things that
I'm gonna keep an open mind.
Yeah. Okay. So you know, people on the standard American diet like the snack. So the first like thing for them in your essential kit are keto protein bars and snacks. Keto snacks.
Keto basically. Protein bars.
Yeah, keto protein. But you know, like all the I would put that in the category of keto snacks.
Snack bars.
So
okay, can I have a little bit of an idea of like what they're saying about these snack bars? Like why is this something that's essential for your kit?
But I was expecting you to say no, we don't need that. But like
I don't think we need it, but I'm gonna at least give them a fair shot.
Yeah, the first sentence. Okay, for athletes looking for a quick fuel or recovery. If I stop that, then what do you have to say?
Quick fuel. Okay, so here's a problem that I have right away. There, keto is not about quick fuel. Like the fact that ketones allow us to not only fuel ourselves in the moment, but tap into our own energy source. Like if I need a snack, right? Like truthfully, I should just be able to tap into the fat that's on board if I'm doing keto appropriately. So might I have a moment of feeling hungry? Of course. But then if I don't have a meal to eat and I drink a glass of water, chances are my body's just gonna say, okay, there was no food, tap into me and move forward. So if the reason that you're gonna eat this thing is because you need quick fuel, I feel like maybe you're not either fat adapted or that you need a little bit more understanding of keto, because eating quick fuel, so that means now a snack, is gonna spike your insulin, which is exactly what we're trying to stop from happening.
But apart from the insulin spike, like let's say you're dying hungry and you need to eat something, you don't need those bars. You don't need to buy a $4 little piece of what, like it's probably going to be nuts, like stuck together with like some kind of sugar, some kind of sweet. Sometimes like they can't be zero carbs, those bars. Like what's good anyways for
what,
most
are,
of,
what, are, they, what are they saying
we don't see they don't say the, okay. the
just, there's no particular yeah. bar they're talking about, they're just saying bars yeah. in general.
But bars in general, they have at least like five.
Most
the
bars.
The one I know, I have like 5, 6, 7 grams of.
Oh well, I mean, I wasn't even going to go there.
It's
but
not,
if you want to go
high,
there, I
like
feel like the other part of the story that's kind of, just from what they're saying, the reason is, if I'm starving, ingesting 5 grams of carbs in a small bar. Now, how much fat is in it? I don't know, but like most bars are between 5 and 7. That's a lot of. That's like again 25 to 30% of my calorie intake for the day I'm giving to a bar. Now, if I'm starving and I eat that bar, then I still gonna need to find food eventually, I'm assuming. Mm. That's not gonna be the only thing you eat. Is that a good use of my carb intake?
Probably not.
Again, you know, everybody has to make their own decision. I'm just saying, for me, the bigger issue is not that. It's the insulin spike that you're giving yourself in that moment rather than having a complete meal. Because if I have a complete meal, I know I'm gonna make it hours and I'll be able to get to my final meal for the day or my next meal for the day, whatever it happens to be. If I have that bar, I have to eat again because I'm starving, as you just said. This is not a meal replacement. It's a snack, right? If I understand that well.
Yeah. You like the second sentence that I didn't remember. The psychologist in you is gonna like it. Plus, they taste like they taste kinda like carbs. So the whole idea of entertaining the carb tasting.
So what I'm gonna say there is there's a part of the carb addiction that doesn't get talked about a lot, which happens in your mouth before the food even gets into your body. when we taste carbs, our brain already lights up. It knows it's coming. It's excited for that dopamine hit, right? It's all part of it. What they're basically saying is that by doing this keto bar, it tastes sweet, and therefore now I'm gonna have a carb reaction, although it's not carbs, right? I'm assuming there's no carbs in it. Like, I
I'm
mean, there's
trying to
carbs in
get to
it.
the.
There's actually carbs in it because it said 5 grams of carbs or 5 to 7 in every bar I've ever seen. But is it sweetened with something that's, maybe a keto-friendly sweetener or whatever, which isn't going to give you the physiological hit of sugar? But what it does do is it gives you the psychological hit of sugar. And then, of course, that means I could be chasing sugar again. Not a big deal. If you're doing that like once in a very, very blue moon, but if you're doing that regularly, so you see, this is where I get another problem. Most people who buy keto snacks are buying them because they want to eat them because they, and they are eating them regularly. And I feel like as soon as you get into that story, unless you're very disciplined, you could end up eating too many carbs in your day, right? Because, like I said, if one bar is between 5 and 7 grams of carbs, and you eat two of them, you're still gonna have a meal at some point. Now, you could do a carnivore meal and then you'd be fine,
Can you be fine?
right? So like, if that's a way to manage it, and there are ways to manage it. If you like snacks,
And needless to say, those bars are usually expensive. You can have a snack and like probably like a cheaper snack and better for you. Let's say you had like some or hard-boiled eggs or nuts even.
or
Those
even a
bars are
pepperoni
usually made
stick.
of no of
But even a
nuts, but like
pepperoni stick is going to be
a
cheaper than
pepper.
that. But can I also just point out that if I'm eating a meal every time I get hungry, chances are I won't be eating snacks. That's just another point to make. Because if I'm actually hungry, why aren't I eating a meal? That's the question that I have. If I'm actually hungry, why am I not eating a meal?
Okay, second, let's go with the second must-have in your keto starting kit. Let's call it like wait, keto little measurement and keto strips. I don't know how you call it, those little blood test device that would measure ketones in your blood and keto
So
measuring
I've been
strips.
keto for over a year now, and I've never tested my blood for ketones. So is it necessary? Absolutely not. Is it fun? Probably. I mean, if I could take my measurements and see
Is
like,
it fun to
oh,
poke your finger every day?
no, I mean that part probably not fun, but I mean just knowing like, oh, I'm at, am I at 2 or am I at 1.5 or am I at 0.5? But can I point out? So I watch a few different keto YouTube channels. And I'm thinking of one guy in particular who never has high keto numbers. And he's always frustrated. And versus his wife, who always has like these amazing numbers and she barely does keto. She's more low carb. And she's always like doing these great numbers whenever she decides to do keto for a little while. Like she just jumps right in. And so, what's interesting there is that he's frustrated. And whenever I watch a video where he's tested his ketones for whatever experiment that they happen to be doing or whatever, he's frustrated. He's like, oh yeah, my number is 0.2 or ah, my number is 0.3. But it's like you're in ketosis. What difference does it make?
That was my question. Is there like a difference in those numbers? Like whether you're at 0.2, at 2 or 3, once you're in ketosis, is there
When
a
you're
benefit to
measuring,
be to have higher numbers?
so from what the doctors are saying, there is no benefit. Like once you're in ketosis, you're in ketosis. Whether you're having a 0.2 reading or a 1 reading, of course you don't want to go too high, like past what's normal. But I mean, again, you'd have to be drinking ketones to get past what's normal. So as long as you're, in ketosis, that's what's important. That's what's significant. It means that your body is using fat for fuel. But this is what I'm saying is like, I feel like those meters, they can be fun, but they can also be frustrating because once again, it's putting us to focus on a number rather than focusing on how we feel, rather than focusing on the health benefits, rather than focusing on my overall goal for myself, which is improved health, better ability to use my body the way I want to use my body.
But
But they can be fun. I'm not going to say it's
but do
not.
you know of any like how would a person not using those device know if they're in
Oh,
ketosis
that's
or not?
easy. When you can go between meals without feeling hungry, like for sure. So like, I mean, here's the thing.
But is there a guarantee that you're in ketosis, not being hungry?
So if you are eating very low carb, so first of all, if anybody who's watched Dr. Westman's white coat video, he's pretty clear on saying it, that if you're doing 20 grams total carb per day, 20 grams total carb, like 99.9% of people are going to be in ketosis. Okay, like that, you're if you're being good with yourself, you're going to be into ketosis. Now, how can you tell? The most common and
I was thinking about, like, maybe you stink. No, the previous video we made about one of the Jillian Michaels' bad effect of ketosis, keto crush. Keto or the keto crush.
Yeah. So how can you tell? You can tell because if I'm eating 20 grams of carbs or less per day, and I'm no longer having withdrawal symptoms. So that's the first thing. So my headaches are gone. I don't have, you know, like, I'm not chasing carbs anymore. I'm not feeling like fluish type symptoms or all those withdrawal symptoms that you hear most alcoholics and drug addicts have. If I no longer have those withdrawal symptoms, that's another indication that you're in ketosis. So you're eating low carb and you don't have those symptoms. And the most obvious to me, and I feel like the most reliable, when I can go between one meal to the next, so 2-4 hours between meals, and not be hungry. So I have either, what is it, breakfast, and I can make it to lunch, or I have lunch and I can make it to supper, and I'm not hungry in between, you are definitely in ketosis. And when you can actually go from supper around through and make it to lunch, you know for sure you're in ketosis. Like, these are just the reality that carbs push us to eat. Carbs push us to feel hungry. When you no longer have that scenario, you're in ketosis. So that's, like, I feel like the real world way of telling, right? Like, because what's happening, so just for clarity, in between the meals, your body is pulling fat from you. That's what's actually happening. So that's how you can tell.
Okay. Next one in your kit would be any kind of, hydration supplement, either powder or tabs that you put in water that would give you
more electrolyte minerals, stuff.
Electrolyte stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Are they necessary? Mm-mm. They're
necessary required? Is an interesting word. Are they helpful? That one I would say are helpful. Mm. So necessary is an interesting word. If you are doing a well-planned out ketogenic lifestyle where you are making sure that all of your micronutrients are coming from, you know, vegetables and like good quality vegetables and good quality meats, theoretically, you don't need anything else besides a little bit of salt. How good are we at doing that, right? That's another question. So when you might find yourself with leg cramps, or you might find yourself like craving salt, that's an indication that you're imbalanced. And I would say these kind of things are very good in those moments because it's a quick way of getting a pretty balanced, I mean, depending on what kind you buy, a pretty balanced electrolyte into your system. For myself personally, I use Vegasport, and I can put a link for that in the description below. Mm-hmm. It's a good, from what I can see, it's a good one. The potassium count in Vegasport, I feel like, is not super, super high, but at the same time, I do find for myself, I found it works very good. I think ZipFizz is another one that has actually much more potassium in it. I can put a link for that too, down below. No. But it has carbs. Vegasport has no carbs and no carbs in it, whereas ZipFit does.
Okay.
Actually, my favorite thing to do is to put Vegasport in bubbly water. That tastes delicious. Mm. That's a very nice...
Cool. Okay, next, I probably... Let's say if you think it's a must-have, what about like artificial sweeteners, mainly stevia? Is it like a must-have in somebody's kit, depending on...
So here's what I'm going to say on that one. Is not necessary. Here's what I'm going to say. It's not necessary. But what it is nice to have. And I'm going to say why, because I want people to understand something. I do not believe that you should be using stevia on a regular basis. Why? Because it tastes sweet. And when we engage the sweet cephalic system, we end up reminding ourselves of carbs and chasing carbs and carbs and carbs and carbs, even though you're not actually ingesting any carbs. It tastes like carbs. So my first thing is, necessary? No. Nice to have around? Yes. Why is it nice to have around? For those once in a blue moon, pay attention to what I'm saying, once in a blue moon treats that you might make for yourself. So now we're talking once every, if you were working with me, once every few months. Treats that you allow yourself to have maybe around your birthday, maybe around Christmas, once every few months, not every week, not even every month, once every few months. Because if I let myself do that once every few months, I'm not going to get used to it. So I have my nice treat for whatever occasion happens to be happening. And then I go back to eating regularly and I'm not being pulled by it because it was a one-off.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have around.
Yeah. So, but putting it in your coffee, not so
much.
I would not
suggest any kind of stevia or any kind of creamer that's sweetened in your coffee. Flavored and sweetened are not the same thing.
Yeah, on top of that, like coffee with 35% cream is delicious, so.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? But I would also go as far as saying that coffee with a flavored creamer that's not sweetened is fine. Like if you put 35% cream and a drop of regular vanilla, so not sweetened vanilla, just regular vanilla extract, that can be delicious, and a drop, because too much of it's bitter, but that can be delicious and yet not add any sweet to your food. So that's what I'm saying, like just putting some cinnamon, for example, in your coffee, again, it's not sweet. So that's what I would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
But stevia, for an occasional once in a while treat.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, I'm not sure if I'm going to tell the product or start with the first sentence because they're both interesting. Okay, let's start with sentence. When going keto, you want to increase your fat intake as much as possible to boost how full you feel, and blah, 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 blah. You want to boost your fat as much as possible.
To boost how full you feel?
Your fat intake.
To help with how full you feel.
Yeah.
So there I say no. You when you eat food, you should be eating food for energy. So that means that you're eating high quality meats and high quality veg. And let me be clear, when I say high quality, what I mean is the highest quality that you can afford. So what that means to me is that if I can afford to buy grass-fed steak, why wouldn't I buy it? If I can't afford grass-fed steak, then I'm going to buy steak from the grocery store. Buy the quality that you can afford. But if I can afford both either grass-fed or grocery store steak, I'm not eating McDonald's hamburgers. This is what I'm saying. I'm not going to go to McDonald's and take the bread. I'm going to eat my steak. Okay, so this is the first thing I'm going to say. Yeah. The best quality that you can afford. So if I'm going there with that, I would say that I'm not trying to feel full. I'm trying to eat till I'm satiated, eating good quality food. So right away, I disagree with that first statement. What is the actual product?
So, Violet said no.
I'm guessing it was actually some kind of oil.
So MCT oil, like either powdered or like...
MCT oil. So I'll go there. Mm-hmm. Do we need MCT oil? Again, I'm going to say, of course, we don't need it. Is it helpful to have? It can be. Mm. So let's be clear on something. Medium chain triglycerides, which are fats that our body can use immediately, they are helpful to have when you're first starting out. Because what they do is they allow your body to start processing. So knowing how to use fat or using fat for fuel, let's say, faster in the process. So when I'm doing my first week or two of keto, if I happen to have MCT oil, my body is going to be given exogenous ketones right away to use, so it doesn't have to break anything down. That's helpful. When I pee on a strip or do a finger prick or whatever way we're doing to test, if you happen to test, it's going to look like I'm already in ketosis. That's not true.
Okay.
We need to make the distinction there. I'm not in ketosis until my body starts only using fat, or using mostly fat for fuel, I should say, and not relying on carbs. Okay, so then, is it necessary to have? No. Is it helpful to have in the beginning? Yes. Is it helpful to have long term? No. So why no again? Because if I have those long term, the other problem that I see people doing is they just keep adding MCT oil to everything, and you can overdo it on some level. Again, remember we were talking about the whole ketoacidosis a few videos back? You know, like if I'm drinking MCT oil, like the chance that I'm going to overdo the ketones Again, it's hard to do because, I mean, MCT oil, it's oil. But it's not necessary for
us. But what if you're an athlete, let's say you go to the gym 3 hours a day? Is this something that would be a helpful, like you're a bodybuilder that's on keto, doing the keto lifestyle?
I want to make the big guess that if I'm a bodybuilder doing a ketogenic lifestyle, I would love to be lower in body fat. And at that point, why wouldn't I let my body take the fat that's on board rather than adding fat? That's just not logical.
Or maybe if you were already at some 8% fat. If you like at your goal and super low fat.
That would be probably the one scenario where I would say then you might add some. Okay, so if I'm trying to maintain, but, so here's a big but, I'm going to say this. MCT oil, which is often derived from coconut oil. If I was that athlete in that situation, I would use the coconut oil because you get all the positive properties of the oil and not just the medium chain triglycerides. I know there's kind of linoleic acids and all kinds of other things in coconut oil that you would be missing by just going for pure MCT oil. So if I was that athlete, what I would do actually is use coconut oil instead if I'm trying to keep myself from gaining weight. Yeah. I mean, sorry. I'm trying to keep myself from losing weight.
And they're expensive too. Those products, MCT oil products.
They're more expensive than coconut oil, for example. Yeah. Although coconut oil can be expensive.
But like, no need for that.
But yeah.
Okay. The next one's interesting. Like, I'm gonna let you talk about it. Like, some kind of air fryer.
Necessary for keto.
Necessary for keto, but
helpful. That's like so funny.
And your keto starter kit.
Like why? I don't even understand why. Why would an air fryer be necessary for keto? Like, how were you frying food before? So, like, all the people that were doing...
vegetable oil? No, but, like, why not?
But regardless, so whatever oil you were using to fry before, why wouldn't you just be able... Like, I don't understand. So, I get... Right away, my meter is going off that they're just using keto to sell a product, right? Because why would an air fryer be necessary for keto? That's my starting point. Would I say that it's helpful for keto? So necessary versus helpful. Yeah. Absolutely. Here's the thing. Air fryers use oil, use much less oil. So there's two reasons that I would see why an air fryer could be helpful, but so not necessary. Do not go out and buy an air fryer just because you're doing keto. That makes no sense. And you know why it makes no sense? I'm sorry. If I have a frying pan, this is just driving me nuts. If I have a frying pan and I have a fatty piece of meat and I put it in the frying pan, guess what happens? It's going to fry. The fat that's on the meat is going to come into the pan and I'm going to be able to fry and I'm not going to burn my meat. And I did that before I wasn't doing keto. So I don't even understand. I feel like people trying to sell products, that frustrates me because I don't like people being taken advantage of.
No, of course not. But
the reason I would say that it could be useful. I'm sorry.
It's more like the helpful thing in your keto starter kit.
Okay. The reason I could see it being helpful.
Like you use a frying pan.
The reason I could see it being helpful is because you need so much less oil to fry. So, for example, if you've got a pork chop and you put it in an air fryer, you probably don't even have to add any oil. And if you put a chicken. Let's say a piece of chicken in the air fryer and you just give it a little spritz with some coconut oil or some olive oil or some, not olive oil, coconut oil or avocado oil and put it in the air fryer. Again, it's going to fry. So, and you're going to get a nice crispy piece of chicken without having to have dunked it in oil. So because avocado oil and coconut oil are so expensive, an air fryer can be helpful, but can I just back up again and say that you could put it in the pan and seriously, it's going to do the same thing. So,
actually, it's like we were talking this morning.
Collect
last
your
night.
Bacon grease and save that for frying. I'm sorry, but I just don't like people being taken advantage of. That bothers me.
Of course, but what we're saying was it this morning or last night that our two good purchases we made in the past month for food.
Oh, our good purchases that we made, and honestly, and I'm not trying to push a product.
I'm not trying to push
a product.
But helpful.
But two helpful things that we did buy, just because it helped be efficient. I don't even know if these are on the list. I mean, you read the list.
I had it.
But the two things that we did buy that we use every day or almost every day, a really strong blender. So the one I bought, we actually both bought the Ninja blenders. Really strong blender. We're not in any way associated with Ninja.
No.
It's just a brand that we actually bought.
But you use it for what?
I use it for making coffee. So blended coffees with oil. If I do my oil coffees, I also use it for blending avocado when I'm making like different things that have avocado. I really want the avocado to be smooth. Mm-hmm. For making rice, cauliflower, because it had a food processor on it. Mm-hmm. So like we had that. So like honestly, there's so many things that like I can actually say that food processor / blender gets used every single day at my house. Mm-hmm. The second product that I use that I could definitely say gets used every single time I make vegetables is my pressure cooker. My pressure cooker I use every time because I'm very, very sensitive to lectins. Not everybody is, but I am, and I figured that out after reading Mark Hyman's book, Food, What the Heck Should I Eat? I'm super sensitive to lectins. And when I started cooking my vegetables in a food processor, how has my life changed that I don't have, again, a lot of reactions to food and whatever. So now I'm going to be honest, transparency, I have an air fryer. Did I buy my air fryer because of keto? Absolutely not. Mm. Right? Because I also have a deep fryer. And my deep fryer I had for years and years and years. Mm. And did I use those crappy oils in it? Yes, I did. So, like, the thing is that I mean, it's expensive when I want to fry with avocado oil in my deep fryer. So, of course, the air fryer now has replaced it when I'm frying those kind of things. Mm. So this is, again, that whole idea of, like, what's your goal? What's your ultimate goal?
But of course, it's like, it has to do with being more efficient. Like in a slow cooker, you put a piece of meat. Like even the other week, I did put a piece of pork and a piece of meat, beef in the slow cooker, like for an hour and a half. And you have like meat
in
for
the whole
week. In the pressure cooker, not the slow cooker, the pressure cooker. And you have meat like for the whole week. So.
And actually, honestly, my slow cooker, I've actually started using more and more. And since I've become keto, would I say that that's a keto necessary?
No.
But actually it just happens that because I'm eating better quality meat more often, I'm finding recipes that call for a slow cooker. So I have a slow cooker, I have a pressure cooker, and I have a really good blender, food processor, and air fryer. I use all of these things quite regularly.
Okay. Last product on a keto lifestyle list, a starter kit. It's another product, actually, and I'm going to ask a question instead of like just giving you the product, because like of the reaction you had with the air fryer. How does like a spiralizer would help like somebody who went on a ketogenic lifestyle?
Oh, okay. So
what's the spiralizer?
A spiralizer.
For people who don't
I have a spiralizer. A spiralizer is a device, because a little device that you have to make, let's say, a vegetable into little spiral strings, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can have different sizes, and it could be strings, they could be discs, depending on what attachment you have. So I guess the positive of a spiralizer is that if you miss things like pasta, there are certain vegetables that you can spiralize, and then when you cook them up, they taste kind of pasta like or they're good pasta replacement. Not that they taste like pasta, but they're good pasta replacements. You can put sauce on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to do that. I used to make spiralized zucchini that tasted really good. And so that's not, a valid product. Do I need it for keto? Duh, no. But like the funny thing is that they're kind of messy to use. Mm. And actually, I can't even remember the last time I used mine. Mm. So that's part one. Part two, if I spiralize some zucchini and use it for pasta, that's still a large amount of carbs, right? Zucchini is a carby. Like, I think it, depending on how many carbs you have left for your day, is going to depend on whether or not you can actually use that in an efficient way. But I feel like the other thing that's interesting there is that you're still in that situation. I will admit that when I bought that, I was still in that situation where I liked pasta, and I was like, well, how do I have that as a meal? And like, I feel like today I've moved so far past trying to replace things. And I feel like that's ultimately, you know, you listen to these products and these, either the products, like food products, or the purchase products, they're really aimed at people who still are new to the keto game, and you're still trying to replace the old lifestyle that you were living. And I feel like as long as you get stuck there, you're going to be stuck there. And in the sense that if I'm trying to replace a chocolate chip cookie or pasta, or I'm trying to replace, you know, mashed potatoes, or then I'm going to need products to do that. Versus if I allow myself to see what low glycemic vegetables I actually like, and find recipes that use those vegetables. I don't need to replace anything. So, do I think it's bad to have a spiralizer? No. Do I think you need a spiralizer?
No,
No.
of course
There's
not.
nothing that you need in terms of cooking utensils that you don't need for regular cooking. So, if you want a spiralizer, get a spiralizer. If you want an air fryer, get an air fryer. I have one. I have both of those things. Do I need those things to do keto? No.
So that was my last product.
That was the last
So
product? Okay.
yeah, it was a
That was fun.
it was a fun article. Actually, like you said it, like you don't need
Did you
anything
have
to
the
go
same
keto.
reaction when you read those things? Were you like, ah, like, were you, did you have the same reaction?
No, but yeah, because we know we don't need anything. You need a frying pan, basically. That's like that's helpful, like to fry your steak and your pork chop,
Can I
and
say?
like but you don't need like any food product. You don't need any bars. You don't need any MCT oils.
Can I say? Actually, that's interesting what you just said there. I fry more stuff. I like to cook for myself, so I'm not counting cooking for my daughter. I can't remember the last time I used a pot. Right? Like I use my Instant Pot. But like to use a real pot to make some food for Violet?
Oh, can I add one product?
What?
Actually, I'm just thinking about it. And maybe a salad spinner. Because you eat a lot of salad on a
Yeah, I
keto
eat a
weekend,
lot of
so
salads.
you can go without. You can wash your salad up, but that's useful.
A salad spinner
I'm
is
surprised it's
useful.
not in the
Actually, I am
article.
surprised it's not on the list. A salad
No, because I mean,
spinner,
because
if it was on the list, I think.
on keto, you just eat bacon and eggs. That's why I know another like of our.
Actually, was there anything for vegetables on there?
Not, but the spiralizer,
It's
basically
just a
like the
spiralizer.
spiralizer.
Oh my God, that's true. Like we eat so many vegetables and so much salad, and yet a salad spinner wasn't there. Right? Like, oh, that's really interesting, actually. I didn't even think about that. That's true. Yeah, again, a salad spinner, something I use every day.
Do you have any suggestions? Any things that you would put on that list that wasn't
Vegetables that you love to eat.
No, but like wait, yeah.
No,
The yogurt.
that's really what I'm saying.
Some kind of
Find
transportation.
vegetables that you love to
Some
eat
kind of transportation
to
to
get
get
to
to
the
the
grocery
grocery
store.
store. That should be on the list. A bike with a basket
Bike with a
or a
basket.
car.
We need a car in Canada, but like if you live in a warm climate, a bike with a basket to go pick up some vegetables that you, if you live in a warm climate, a garden in your backyard.
Oh, true.
That's something that
That's
you would do
good.
well with. No, yeah, honestly, I think if I had to say the one thing you need to do keto, it would be vegetables that you love to eat and good quality meat, access to good quality meat. That's that. Those are the two things you need, but you need those on any diet.
Yeah, totally.
Honestly, like I feel like people, and there are people that don't eat veg. It's sad. They're doing the standard American diet on burgers and hot dogs and stuff like that, and they don't eat veg, and I don't think that's healthy. So I think you should be eating vegetables. I think you should be eating good quality meats. You'll notice I did not say fruit. Vegetables, good quality meats. I want to thank you for watching watching Violet talk. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet Pat Chat Edition. We are really happy that you guys stopped by to watch our videos. I'm gonna be back on Monday with another of my videos, and we're gonna try to do this again.
Sure.
Thanks for stopping by. Oh, by the way, if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. You know, hit that bell so you know when our next video is coming up or my next video is coming up. You know, just give me another video, and I'll talk to you soon.